sorry, little technical difficulties on Monmouth and County's, Monmouth County, Ocean County's number one podcast in the world. It's true. The results are in. Totally local podcast, colorful characters, entrepreneurs, local businesses in and around the Jersey Shore area. Happens every week, twice on Sundays. Just kidding. Once a week, maybe twice a week. Who knows? We've got Aaron Levine, as always. Hey. LG Insurance, man. How's it going? You look like you should be working on ESPN or something, man. You look great.
I was told I look like a radio DJ with my new headphones on. Yes, but, you know.
Yes, it's all matchy-matchy. I love it. Maureen Ursino of Ursino Interiors. I love this topic. I love that we've been talking before this all got started. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
That's good. I see you're on the job site right now. You're working on the interior of a space. Just got started. I like to see this. We got to see a before and after.
Yes. We will be doing an after, hopefully early 2021. So then, my basement is just a cave full of baby toys and my studio for now.
That's perfect. Yeah. So when it comes to doing interior design work, I would imagine that somebody like me, who's a little more scatterbrained, we might not be able to like handle like doing a large project like that. Do you consider yourself like a very, like you were just saying how you had this planned out for the future, are you a very organized person?
Well, I will say this. I'm organized when it comes to clients. When it comes to doing my own work, I fly by the seat of my pants. But, you know, I wouldn't recommend it.
let's just start with that background that Andrew has. Do you recommend that for other clients as well?
Is this the
multicolored brick wall look?
Yes, it's very whimsical. I like
it. There we go. It's whimsical. That's basically my middle name. Full of whimsy. So how long have you been in the interior design game, into business?
In the game. So I went out on my own about 2.5 years ago.
Nice.
And prior to that, I worked for a short amount of time at a commercial firm based in Moore, New Jersey, about an hour away from where we are. And for a number of reasons, I ended up going out on my own. I was only there for about a year and a half. I had my daughter while I was there, so I was partially on maternity leave and all that early childhood fun.
I hear you. I gotta say, I think everyone here can agree that working for other people is a huge pain in the ass, and nobody really, you know, likes to, you know, I've always, in the past, you know, it's good to get that experience, especially obviously in the field that you're passionate about. But I think that it comes to a point, and to Aaron, tell me if I'm wrong, that like, you're just like, well, I don't want to do it like that. I see where you're coming from, but I have my own ideas. I've gotten, believe it or not, fired from jobs where I worked at a video production place that shall remain nameless. And I was like, hey, how about we do this with the, you know, you have these books and we're organizing it. And I had my superior be like, how about you just do your job and be quiet? And I was like, wow, I'm quitting or I'm getting fired. And it was the latter that eventually happened. So I feel you. Now, when it comes to getting into somebody's space, do you have to like get in the mood, pour a glass of wine, burn some sage? Like, when people come to you with a redo, are they like, look, just do whatever you want, tabula rasa? Or do they come to you with like, I love, you know, gilded sconces and little cherub angels? Like, where do people come from?
I like the cherub angel comment. So we have a process that we follow, and a particular process at the beginning of our project where, you know, it's client intake and questionnaires and looking at inspiration and how clients live, how they're going to use the space, different lifestyle questions that we have to go through. And then really we just sit down with the client and comb over their inspiration, but then also comb over, maybe it's inspiration they get from places that they've traveled or fashion that they like or cuisine that they enjoy. And we typically have a pretty good idea of the aesthetic that they like before we begin designing, so that we have at least a little bit of a roadmap, and then we narrow down as we go through.
Is there like compromise like on your side, like if people come to you with like, you know, basically, people have, there's people out there with bad taste, let's just say.
Yeah.
And, you know, they come to you and they might not know they have bad taste. They might be, you know, they might be thinking they're the cat's meow and they just don't, you know, don't know what the heck they're doing. Now, if that kind of thing happens, how do you break it to them that they have bad taste and they need to just listen to you and we need to paint these walls white? They can't be some kind of crazy chartreuse polka dots. How do you convince people that they're wrong and you're right, basically?
Client management is fun. The trickiest part of my job, I would say, is client management. Thankfully, we have not worked with a client yet who I would say their taste is completely, completely off from ours. That is, but a big part of the convincing comes from being able to present a full idea and a full scheme all at once to a client. And I'm finding the more information that you present, we have presentation day, we call it, where the full scheme of a home is presented so that they can see the full picture. Mm-hmm. And I'm finding that when a client can see a full picture and not just a portion of it, meaning like, oh, we're going to paint your walls white and in 2 weeks I will get you what the cabinetry color is. And then in another 2 weeks, I'll show you what the hardware is. It's almost impossible to design a home that way when mm-hmm. it's piecemeal. But if we can present everything at once and they can fully understand it, we might get a little bit of pushback and have to iterate on minor things, but typically, because we spend so much time in the beginning truly trying to understand each other, there's not a ton of pushback, which is good for now. But I mean, I'm sure my day is coming where that will be happening. Wood.
I'm sorry if I find it interesting when people come into a creative space. You know, I liken it to like say epic shouts, Chris Dietz. Say you go to somebody, they're a CPA and they're doing your taxes. It's not like you're going to go to them and be like, here, I need you to do my taxes, but I want you to do the math way different than you're doing it. Like, there's a certain way to do it, and people that are in jobs that are more creative, you know, don't have that luxury sometimes to be like, look, I know what I'm doing. Speaking of which, let me see if I could just do this here. The picture, I'm gonna shrink it a little bit, but I put up the picture of the floor in my kitchen, and it's a classic design. If people don't know, this is like a linoleum. I've seen this in many a house. And I'm just pulling it up next to you there. And you've seen it before. So it's up on the screen. I don't know if you guys could see it from the screen, but it's so old. First of all, my house is like I think it's over 100 years old right now. This flooring, it came from like, I would imagine like the 50s, 60s, maybe? I don't know. Somewhere around there.
Yeah, I would guess 60s, maybe.
I'm sure you've walked into houses where it was like the Brady Bunch like house, like where it's just like the same as it was when they first did it or second time they did it.
Absolutely.
What do you do? This is like, the floor is so old. It's like, it's gross. Like, we're like, why is it sticky? And it's not sticky because we have syrup on it. It's like whatever like compound it is made out of, like whatever, like, like in Bell Labs, like somebody like cooked this up in the 60s. It's some kind of whatever it is. It's like, it's just gross and old. Now, I'll pull up the picture of our beautiful little one half of our lovely kitchen in a second, but you know, what the hell, what do I do? What do I do with, like, what, somebody comes to me and say, look at this floor, man. Like, what do I do?
Well, do you have a kitchen? are you renovating your kitchen soon?
I mean, it's all, the way that I work is not kind of like how you said to do stuff. I just kind of, you know, we're getting a deck kind of put on the outside area. So we're doing that. While that was happening, my wife decided that we needed, to redo the floor on the, or redo the porch, which involved redoing the floor, ripping that up. But since our steps to the backyard are now gone, we can't start that yet. But shout out to Pops. I told him that there were some bricks that were broken on the front porch. And if anyone out there knows Pops, knows that he's a retired bricklayer and he doesn't half-ass it. He is old school. So the three bricks that were broken has turned into, let's just completely just drill and demolish like 6 inches into the porch. We're going to brick the whole. I swear to God, epic shouts to Pops. He made in the 70s, I don't know what he was smoking, but he lived on the second floor, Washington Square Parkway, Jersey City, on the second floor renting, and he created a coffee table of brick and two end tables made of brick. I swear to God, they were a big slab of stone on the top.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you have them in your house?
I do not. My
okay.
They're probably still at my like childhood home in the Highlands. Like still.
Okay.
When I saw them when I was a kid, they were in the yard, and I was just like, you know, when they finally moved to the glorious Highlands, they were moving on up, and I'd be like, what are these things? And my mom sat me down on her lap and was like, well, your dad's a little crazy, and he built a brick coffee table that he carried
brick
up
furniture.
And down. Yeah, it's. I'm sure you've never seen that on the inside. I don't know where I was going with that. Oh yeah, okay. So I'm having a lot of stuff done right now. So the kitchen is like a luxury. A kitchen is like
kitchen
you were
is
saying.
A luxury.
It's like the biggest. It's like the. Would you say it's the could be one of the biggest jobs to be done as far as a renovation in a household?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Kitchens and bathrooms are always the biggest and I would say the priciest, but kitchen is usually the higher price tag.
Yeah, so I mean we had our upstairs bathroom done last year, and that was a big learning experience. Like, are there any like tips that you could give when somebody's doing a renovation? Is there any tips you could give, like, to expect the unexpected or like how to prepare? Because what you think is going to happen is like really not what actually happens. You know what I mean?
Never. Yeah. I mean, I always say just expect it to be stressful. It's not meant to be a stress-free process, right? It's like,
that's so scary. It's like insurance, people, Aaron.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yes.
Hire a professional.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not meant to be a stress-free process. And definitely, especially when it comes to renovations, expect the unexpected. And if you're able to set a contingency budget aside, because like, again, with especially renovations, things just always pop up. You don't know what's going to be behind the walls, and typically you do go over budget. So if you can go into a project expecting those things to happen, it's easier to handle when they inevitably come up.
So now that you've mentioned it, things that come up, I showed you the horrific floor that my child, you know, I hope this doesn't give him nightmares, because I got to be honest with you, sometimes it gives me nightmares when I see this floor. And I just put the picture up of the lovely, let's just say that there's like a kitchenette on the other side, a little dining area on the other side.
Okay.
But you've seen the picture. Please pardon the mess. I have a 10-month-old, and
I understand.
So, but what we're looking at here is, you know, it's your classic, just funky colored wood cabinets. We have the best. It's like the best window unit air conditioner from like the dawn of time above it. I'm so sad. Like I'm really like an old soul, and when I deal with stuff like these kind of machines, you realize that things really weren't built like they used to be. Although it's incredibly ugly, so I'm probably gonna have to get rid of it. Now we have this wood matching with this horrendous floor, and you know your classic like white marble linoleum what is that, the countertop, it's like press board or whatever.
Formica.
Yeah, there we go. Formica.
Yeah. Formica's the worst.
So it's like the unholy trinity of just horribleness that needs to be made over. Now, I imagine this to be a job that's going to be like in the tens of thousands of dollars. You know, I am a fool when it comes to like actually knowing what to do, but I actually understand that this stuff costs money. Yes. Would I be, you know, I'm assuming like a couple, 20,000 maybe to start around, you know, if we're replacing appliances and stuff, you know.
Right.
So, first of all, I'm going to do a two-parter here, believe it or not. The first part is, you look at this, you know, what comes to mind as far as, you know, we got an old house, we want to keep that, you know, old house vibe, but make it look like we're, you know, hip. You look at this, what immediately, like, what would you change? What would you do?
I would, so one immediate thing is I always recommend taking cabinets to the ceiling.
Nice.
So all whenever right. you do that, it looks like you have a soffit above your window. Depending on what is behind that soffit, if you're able to take the cabinets to the ceiling, that's always something I recommend and makes a really big difference.
Nice.
Let's see. I think you have...
She's trying to be nice here. I mean, you know.
It looks like...
Just Andrew said he's like Andrew's like I got like $10,000. Maureen's like try like 50.
A tight budget. I mean, that's why we're not doing it right now. We know, you know.
No, well, you know, another thing I say, I feel like I say this often, is to just wait until you are ready to do it the way you want to do it. I feel like it's not worth rushing through projects. Just to get it done.
Yeah,
unless, of course, there's an emergency and, you know, the bathtub fell through the floor or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's emergency. It's just nasty to wake up to is emergency. Like, what I want to know is, like, this is how
sound
me
like Eddie Murphy.
me and my wife, like, just to give you an example, like, when we got married, we went, picked a venue. We worked with somebody. Epic shouts, Diana Marie. She's the best. I don't think she does weddings anymore, so you missed out. But she would be like, all right, what do you guys want to do? And we're like, well, what do you want to do? Because you're the expert. And that's kind of how I'm looking at this kitchen. I'm just like, I don't know, man. I just want, like, I don't know if it's weird to, like, take cabinet doors off, put some like shelfy action in there, just paint everything white. Is that crazy?
No, it's not. I love the floating shelves. Some people have a hard time mentally with them because they're with floating shelves, you have to keep them looking pretty, right? So people get a little
I think it motivates me to like keep it all organized, you know, because you're looking at it. It's on display.
I think floating shelves would be great. And I also think if you were to just paint the cabinets all white, I think that would make a massive difference.
Okay. Well, I'm going to get out the paintbrush. I'm going to get out some chalk paint right after this. I get to work. You know,
chalk paint.
We have chalk paint is the best. You have, you know, we were talking before, you have children. I have a youngster at home here, and you know, we were thinking about doing tile because my father, Pops, is retired bricklayer. He also did tile. We were going to do the front room and tile. But then we were like, wow, like children, they fall. They hurt themselves. And tile is pretty hard to hit.
Yes.
So, you know,
not very forgivable.
Yeah. So I don't want him like, looking like Rocky after a bout or anything. So like, is it more tile is cool, but is tile out? Is tile gone? Where is it appropriate to use tile, and what do you use in its place so your son doesn't hurt himself?
No, I don't think tile's out at all. But what I actually always love in kitchens is hardwoods.
Mm-hmm.
I think it just adds some warmth. Do you have hardwoods in other parts of your house?
I was just going to say that we do have hardwoods in other parts of the house. And like, I don't know, we're not going to make it match from like the living room area to the porch. And like, how do you do it to where it's not so abrupt, where it's like, oh, this is like a nice, cedar. I don't know what it is. And in the kitchen, do you want it like darker? Do you want it like a birchy vibe? What are we dealing with? How do you match, or how do you like clash it so it looks good together?
Well, what would be the reason that you wouldn't match them? Just because of the condition that they're in? Or
yeah, I mean the floor I think is like original hardwood from like when the house was built, And, you know, I don't know if it's really, you know, I don't know if it'd look weird if we tried to match it and then it like was like, oh, you guys were trying to match it, but failed. Or if it's just better to go like 180 and just make it like either darker or just a different tone and just like, you know, it's its own thing.
I would. Are your existing floors stained?
Yeah, it's a little, I think the people we bought it from were like, we're going to stain this and then that's going to make it look better. And, maybe it did. It's okay. It's definitely stained. It was stained at some point. It's definitely stained with other stuff at this point, but it was definitely yeah. It's definitely like a reddishy, I don't want to say red, but like a, you know, a medium brownish, you know, okay. Not birchy, not dark, kind of in the middle,
okay.
You know?
Okay.
But
so what you could do, and this is a little bit of a bigger project, but if you were willing to put hardwoods in your kitchen, mm-hmm. What you could do is lay new hardwoods, strip your existing hardwoods, and just stain them all one color.
Oh, wow. That's
so that they're cohesive.
That's a bold gamble. That's a bold move, but I like it. Then they would all kind of match. I like that. You know what? Right. I'm feeling like basically, Maureen, we got to start an interior design podcast because I'm feeling this. You know, I could do this. I could do this. Supplemental. We could be totally local, totally interiors. This is great. I mean, maybe it's just because I'm getting free advice. I don't know. Like, you know,
it's not unusual for my clients to like really, really be sad when a project's over because they just get so involved in the process.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you find that like people like lure you into their homes? Like you're your aunt is like, oh, I need help moving some furniture. And you go over there and she's like, so sits down, like pours you a glass of Pinot and is like, oh, so what would you do with this bathroom here? Like, do people hit you up all the time? And is it exhausting?
Yes, they do.
I just want to relax.
They do. Yeah. Yeah, and I don't, like, it's close friends and family. I of course, don't mind. It's like the random friend from college who you haven't spoken to in 7 years who sends you a DM, and you're like, well, you know.
I get paid for this.
It's a little awkward.
So.
Yeah.
You just send them, like, your rate sheet.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Here's our intake form.
So, basically, when people want to start on a job, I've found with my line of work is like you need a budget, and then from the budget you could say this is what you actually can actually do.
Right.
When people come to you with that, do you have to give them some kind of contingency, or a caveat being like, look, this is what it's going to cost, but if we like pull down a wall and it's just like lead pipes and like, you know, raccoons have built like, you know, their own little mansion back there, you know, we're going to deal with some extra costs here. Like, how do you deal with situations like that?
I mean, pretty much exactly how you just laid it out, right? Oh, nice. You say, this is what I'm expecting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it all depends on when we actually get into the construction process.
Mm-hmm. What's your networking like? Where like are you just some kind of like lone samurai warrior like out in the world and like somebody contacts you and then like their friend hears about it, sees what you do, and they contact you and you just kind of roam around the earth interior designing? Like how do you find your clients?
A lot of it is word of mouth. A lot of it's definitely, like I said, just word of mouth. And then the other, like from previous clients, mm-hmm. The other avenue that I find is successful is through architects.
Oh, yeah.
I would say architects are probably outside of just referrals are my number, mm-hmm. number one networking. Yeah.
I see. Speaking of number one networking, I believe you know Aaron through the Scout Guide. Is that how you guys met?
Yes.
What a transition.
Some people interior design, other people talk a lot. So you pick up on a couple things.
But yes, that's where we first met a few years ago now.
Epic shouts to the Scout Guide. Wonderful publication to peruse and beautiful. Beautiful pictures. I've been with them on a shoot where we were out on Sandy Hook, and we got kicked off the beach by the ranger because you're not allowed to bring a like Pilates machine onto the beach and take pictures. Apparently, who knew that? I didn't see that on the sign. It says no dogs, but it doesn't say no Pilates machines.
No Pilates.
Aaron, the reason you look so dapper, even more dapper than you know, Peruge is you were doing your own shoot, sans Pilates machine. Where were you? How did it go? What's up?
Scout guide shoot day. I mean, you know, I'm not in a t-shirt or shorts today. Like, so I stick out like a sore thumb for my usual attire, but I just did it for Maureen. Mm-hmm. But scout guide shoot day, we were at the Mammoth Jet Center.
Wow. Oh, very cool.
And I drove my convertible out onto the jetway, top down, cruising, sunglasses on.
Beautiful day for
that. And we pulled up next to an awesome private jet and we did a nice shoot.
Awesome.
Wow. So, but let's make this story really fun. So we've been like planning this thing for months and trying to get a jet.
Yeah,
like,
there's a lot that goes into
who owns a jet, right? We got Wheels Up. Sure. Thank you, Wheels Up, for allowing us out on the runway today. Because they had a jet that was taken off from Myrtle Beach.
Wheels
it
was Up.
It was a little bit over budget, you know, $13,000 one way. I sell insurance for a living, little tight.
$13,000 one way?
Maybe next time.
That's crazy.
The private air travel right now is through the roof because of COVID. So these companies, Wheels Up, NetJets, all these private jet charter type companies are extremely busy. You know, people have a lot of disposable income to get to places and do so in a safe manner. So it's great. So we did our shoot there. But we get there and Kathy's waiting there and I get there and my team gets there and we're like, where's Eddie? Eddie, the photographer.
Important.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're waiting for Eddie and Kathy's calling him and he's like, I don't have an SD card for my camera. Like,
oh my Lord.
How does the photographer forget his film?
Wow.
Like the photographer his film for this photo shoot. But we were able to figure it out. But talk about stress level, like, you know, through the roof. Like we've been scheduling this and, you know, trying to get this done for weeks and months. And then the photographer forgets his film. Like the golfer forgetting golf balls on the PGA Tour.
Yeah. Come on, so, man.
Yeah.
Get to it. Those things are tiny.
We got the pictures. We got the pictures done. I think they're going to come out really awesome when we see the scout guide. So I've got
I'm excited to see them.
2-page spread this year. So it's going to be a little badassery going on there.
Yeah.
So,
Did you get to open it up on the runway in your convertible? Do they let you do donuts or anything while you're out there?
You know, I was tempted to make a run for it and be like, all right, let's put this in sport mode and head out. But I wasn't going to take that risk.
I hear you. That's probably a wise decision. $13,000 to go to Myrtle Beach. Wow, I had no idea. That's interesting. We got to do a totally local where we get in one of those and just do like circles around Mammoth and Ocean County. That way we're still local, but we're just like, I don't know, 10,000 feet up. That'd be cool.
I think we can get a helicopter for cheaper. So maybe we'll do
that. I'll have to yell pretty loud. And I don't know how maybe we can. I'll be in the Zoom call in the helicopter and the guests could be like on the ground or something.
I think it'll be totally fun.
Aaron, what are some, have you done anything recently, any kind of design work, and do you have any say, or is it just like, is it usually just, you know, it just wifey kind of tells you what you're going to do?
You know, so. I'm jealous I didn't like take some pictures in my house and get some free advice.
I know, we could have had a little chat.
You
could send them to me after. It's okay.
You know, so we have this spot in our house, right? So we don't have a basement, so we don't have any storage. Mm. We have an old brick fireplace, right? Bricklayer Central. And we're like, what can we do with this whole wall? And just trying to figure out what to do with the wall where the fireplace is and, you know, make it more usable space, more friendly, and then, you know, tie it into the mudroom with like a little bench with some pull out drawers for everybody in the family. So instead of all having all the shit on the floor in front of the buffet that sits on that wall, we would have some storage space for everyone's shit instead of having it out in the open, right? More drawers, less floating, more hidden.
Yes.
In my house.
Shove it in a drawer and shut the door.
Yeah.
And forget about it. I'll have to send some pictures over. But if I do, then my wife's going to be like, oh, let's do this. Yeah. And it's going to be, you know, $25,000 later. And we're going to have a beautiful wall. And I'll get my bigger TV on it because the mantle will be lower than it is because we also have low ceilings. We have 8-foot ceilings, so it
Yeah, I have 8-foot ceilings in my house too.
We're spatially limited in some space, some spots, but I don't want my wife to know about it. So we'll, we'll keep it hush.
Okay. So
what do you do?
With 8-foot ceilings?
Yeah.
You know, so 8-foot ceilings, everyone always says, oh, they're so, I mean, 8-foot ceilings are, they're standard. And mm-hmm. I actually have That's grown to really like them because I think they bring a sense of intimacy. Mm. When you start getting to taller, yes, I mean, taller ceilings, I'm not going to say they're bad, right? I mean, they are also beautiful, but, especially in kitchens, they bring up challenges that people would not expect, right? So if we were just talking a little bit about bring your cabinets to the ceiling. Mm-hmm. When you have taller ceilings, you're automatically in custom cabinetry land, which obviously increases the price of cabinets scary. In a kitchen. So yeah, exactly. So no, 8-foot ceilings are not bad at all. The one trick I will say, Aaron, that is hard is if you do want to hang a TV above a fireplace with 8-foot ceilings, it's a little challenging. We came across that in my own house. That's what we wanted to do. We really wanted it above the fireplace, and we just couldn't make it happen with the size. So we ended up putting it on a different wall, which has worked out okay. But yeah, I would say that's the only major drawback I've come across with 8-foot ceilings. Otherwise, I like them.
I was flipping through your Instagram earlier, and I was just flipping through mm-hmm. it again here. If anybody's interested, Instagram.com, Ursino Interiors, or if the kids are just using their iPhones, you can just go to Instagram, type in Ursino Interiors. I'm wondering, like, the aesthetic now, it seems to be like brighter, like whiter, like kind of opening up the space with like the color, and then somewhat like minimal. Now, my epic shouts to Pops again. He's coming up a lot in this episode. He's outside drilling holes in my wall. So maybe, you know, it's just from talking to him before, but he moved into his condo in 92. And when he got there, it was his friend's mom's condo. And they're like, you can just have it. Like, you could just have whatever's there. And what was there was a very fuzzy blue carpet, orange walls, some kind of like funky patterned brown wallpaper, gilded lobsters and nets on the wall. There's like a porthole mirror. And that's how it stayed till this very day, basically. The furniture matched. You know, people are dealing with these, you know, from the past when you look at it and you say, wow, orange is pretty gross to have on a wall. And like, I don't know, like maybe lobsters will be cool again someday on the wall. I guess it depends on what the lobster looks like. But what I'm wondering is this trend or what we're seeing now, is it more like just a classic, like it kind of can last, you know, it could stand the test of time, or eventually will the look now be kind of looked at as like orange wallpaper, is basically what I'm asking.
Good question, because I feel like for the past few years that everything's been white, right? Yeah. And I don't think white will ever go out of style. I just think it's a classic choice. This past year especially, I feel like we're starting to see a lot more color, a lot of dark color in particular. There's a lot of designers working with moody colors and very like sexy kind of sultry spaces, which I personally love, and I think it's beautiful. And I think it's happening in a very classic way, but I am sure, you know, 5 years from now, we'll look back, and if someone did a really moody green kitchen, we'll be able to say, okay, that was from then. it will still be beautiful, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's just my hunch.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think white will ever go out of style. I know we're seeing shiplap all over the place, right? Yeah,
thanks, Joanna Gaines. You really...
Right.
You really killed us with that shiplap.
Yeah, all over the place. And I think it just depends really how materials are used and what they're combined with. And it's the overall room that really dictates if something's going to look trendy or not.
Do you, you know, there's people that, that are out there and they'll go and say there's that, what is it called? There's that place like Angel Restoration or whatever in Asbury Park. There's places that have like old, you know, like doors from like, I don't know, a pirate ship from sure. like the 1700s or something. And they'll be like, oh, I want this in my house. And it'll be like $5,000. And people are like, why are you paying this much for driftwood? I don't understand. Like, so right. are you somebody that has used like you'll try to repurpose things or, you know, because on the other side, you know, you're using this stuff that's manufactured. It doesn't seem to be as maybe, you know, the older stuff seems to be more sturdy or put together
yes.
well. Yep. Do you find yourself like marrying the two things or how do you go about like finding items that you use in a job?
I very much love mixing vintage items with new. Mm-hmm. I just think it brings a balance and it brings an authenticity and a coziness that you don't get if everything's just brand new in a space. Mm-hmm. In terms of finding vendors, was that your question? Finding materials?
Yeah, like finding materials or, you know, I guess it probably comes down to like budget somewhat. Newer stuff in most cases is going to be cheaper than finding that pirate door.
Right.
But some of that right. stuff is cool. You know, I found stuff
it's awesome.
In like our house that was, you know, just, it was just here, obviously. Mm-hmm. And you know, we kept it. There's like, we have like old doorknobs that are like, they're like brass, but the knobs are clear. So, I mean,
I love those.
Yeah. It looks super, I don't know, looks super cool. I wouldn't want to change that. But I mean, no. You also have to deal with like crooked, like I look at my door frames and they're like they're just a little off.
Yeah.
So
over time.
Yeah. You just kind of have to deal with stuff like that. So,
right.
You know, that's, I like the idea maybe because it's, maybe the doorknobs are here, so I don't have to buy them. So, you know, I love right. that. That's saving some money. I wonder yeah. if Aaron's like wife is taking notes at all. All right, got to get a pirate door. Got to get these shelves put up. Cabinets.
We replaced all of our doors upstairs on our second floor. Where all the bedroom doors with solid core doors recently.
Oh.
What you was know, try to keep the noise down because our house echoes and it's all hardwood, and so yeah, we put the solid core doors in, and also. Because we put in new door frames, we had those doors that were also crooked, yeah. but they're now straight. So we were able to fix all that.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well,
not a cheap project, but totally worth it, especially for the sound.
Yeah.
When you have two little ones upstairs, you need every little bit of, you know, yes. besides putting egg crates on the walls in everybody's yeah. bed, everybody's room, like
yeah, you know. Yeah.
That's cool.
It is amazing how much noise they can create.
And that's you know, that's the thing. What were you gonna say, Aaron?
Every year we do a project and, you know, just got to keep updating, keep rolling, you know, can't just do it all at once. We could do every year. We got to do something little in the house. So yeah. we'll figure something out next year.
That's a smart way to do it. Don't do what we have going on right now. Cause we barely have any stairs to get in. So don't do that. Is that, Aaron, is there something we were talking the other day about, like, you know, in regards to insurance and like, you know, you dig a hole on your property and then somebody falls in the hole, like is interior design, is there coverage? Like if mm-hmm. if Maureen's working on something like and like we said, we find like you know, raccoons in the wall and they like come out and like maul Maureen's assistant, like, you know, you need some insurance for that. Like, where does that fall in this grand scheme of things? There's a lot of people involved.
So a lot of moving parts. If we were to look at the insurance for, you know, Ursino Interiors plus the homeowners, right? There's mm-hmm. a lot of all those moving pieces. Depending on how large the project is, the homeowner may be best to purchase a builder's risk policy to cover those additions and alterations that are being put into the home, especially if it's vacant or there's an addition being put on. But when it comes to the design work that, you know, Maureen and Ursino Interiors is putting together, you know, they have their general liability, but they also have their professional liability. They make a recommendation, something goes up on a wall and something gets really messed up. And the homeowner says, Maureen, it's your fault. And they file a lawsuit because they don't like the color green. They want
it's too
blue,
green.
You know,
that green it's too is green. Green.
I'm suing you because it's too green, right?
Yeah.
It can happen
oh,
because people are crazy, right?
We've said that before. I was just about to say, I'm sure that's coming for me too. Thankfully, I have not had to use my insurance yet, but.
And I hope you don't ever have to. Like, it's not there to be used.
Yeah, it's there for peace of mind, you know, not for those raccoon attacks.
And the raccoon attack is a whole other issue. Like, that's scary. That's a little crazy.
Yeah, you got to be careful. They're everywhere and they're out to get you. Obviously, I'm trying with all of my might, with everything that is going on. And since I've sat down on the show first with Aaron, it's basically the pandemic hit. And I've been trying to keep the talk to like a minimum because I'm just friggin' exhausted about it until, you know, whatever. I'm just tired. I want people to get back to talking about normal stuff. I'm willing to talk about it, but you hear what I'm saying. Have people been contacting you since this all started? Because they're in their house more, or they have more time in their house. Have you seen instances of that kind of going up?
Definitely, yeah, definitely that. And then in combination with the real estate market's obviously insane right now, right? So we've thankfully received a lot of inquiries just of people looking to do more construction type projects, which has been great. So yes, I've definitely seen an uptick in it.
And as far as that goes, you just mentioned real estate. How are people going to be making that money? How are they going to be making money off of this stuff? Like, how do you equate that? Like, what's the ultimate? Is it like the kitchen? If you get the kitchen done, then that's going to sell the house. Like,
okay.
You know, how are they going to be making all the money? I want to see local people heading to the bank with like a giant briefcase of cash, selling all these New Yorkers. Like, what can insure that? Yeah. Basically.
Yeah. The kitchen is the big ticket, I would say.
And if is there some kind of equation? Like, is it just like, you know, you put in 50 grand to the kitchen, it's appealing. It's only, can you add like 50 grand then onto the price of the house, or is it just like a cost of like getting, it's basically a $50,000 advertisement to sell the house?
That's a good question.
I mean, obviously, no, we would get like some appraisers. We would talk to real estate experts like Gary Mawson or, you know, any other various people we've had on the show.
Right.
You know, so I guess, you know, Kevin from Coldwell Banker, I believe. Epic shouts. I don't want to leave any real estate agents out that I know. Dina Creer, you know, anyway, I'm not going to get into the, you know, throwing up all these real estate agents, but I hear what you're saying. You can't really answer it, but it does add a value to.
Oh, it definitely adds a value. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
But you got to weigh it all out. And then there's instances like in my neck of the woods, it's so funny, like epic shouts to Don, my neighbor. Like I highly recommend if anyone's moving to any neighborhood, move next to like the oldest person that's lived in the neighborhood their entire lives. Cause that's what I did. And he knows everybody and he knows everything. Yep. And it's basically just like, it's like watching, you know, it's like basically watching reality television unfold on your very street. There's a neighbor up a couple blocks, and they're selling their home, and they're asking way too much because they think, you know, it's like, I don't know, 2006 all over again. And they have like one, it's like a four bedroom with one bath, and it's like, you know, you can't sell. It's a hard sell, I think. I mean,
it is a hard sell.
You know, so in that case, maybe not doing a kitchen, but figuring out how to get that second bathroom going. And in those cases, would
definitely,
you know, you can't, if you move into like a farmhouse, you can't really, you got to stick with the vibe of the house, right? If somebody's going to be putting in a new bathroom into an old house, and they're not going to redesign the whole house, how do you mix like Formica with like shiplath? How do you get those two, like the house isn't updated, but you want to do an updated bathroom? Do they have to match, or can you just bling it out?
I mean, ideally, there's some type of a cohesive scheme going on. Mm-hmm. So, no, I mean, you never want it to be too matchy-matchy, but you want them to speak to one another, I guess I would say.
And just what would you say, just to give like a simple tip out there to all the people that now have, you know, hopefully their wives were listening and, you know, they want to redo something, you know, what's some like practical advice just to, before anything gets started, like what do you tell people to do in the beginning? Is it just like, don't do it, this is going to be a nightmare? Or what do you say to them to like let them feel like they're not like gambling with their lives?
Yeah, I always say begin looking for your inspiration early on, whatever that may be, right? It doesn't have to be other interiors. But the more confident you are in what it is that you like, or I will also say what it is that you know you don't like, the easier our process will be.
Oh, okay, cool. That sounds good. Speaking of inspiration, Aaron, we have one more episode before the 100th episode extravaganza, and I gotta say, we rocked out like nearly 50 of the. It took me a couple of years to get to 50 episodes, and then we've just been hitting up all these totally local people, and it's gonna be
awesome.
Yeah, we're gonna have our 100th episode. I invited some guests back. I'm trying to keep it like to a small thing. You could apparently only have a small amount. Well, I mean, obviously you only have a small amount of people at a gathering. And I wanted to keep it to the people that have, you know, really, you know, made a mark on the show and have been super, super supportive and stuff. Aaron, how stoked are you to be sipping a pineapple martini on the 100th episode?
I'm glad you put the spiced pineapple martini on the menu, right? That's obviously the most important thing for me, because I think there's been four occasions on the Totally Local podcast where we've been drinking spiced pineapple martini.
Yes,
maybe I'm wrong, but probably
it's about
probably four. So I'm excited for you. 100 episodes is great.
And yeah,
I can't believe I've done almost like 50 with you. It can't be that many, but maybe.
I mean, you know, I was doubling up. Obviously, I have my other guests on, and we zig and zag and go all over the place, but you were on like a majority.
But it's been like 8 months since like March when we were supposed to have Brett Morgan on and go do it live at a shared universe on the Asbury Park boardwalk. Yeah. And then I'm just like, hey, Andrew, how about this person? And just
just kind of pop.
Keep moving, and people love it. Like it's great to have Maureen on, you know, circling back to her when we met, because, you know, I was just popping through some Instagram, and I'm like, oh, perfect guest. Like, what are people doing in their interior spaces during the lockdown?
Right? Yeah. COVID.
You know, exactly. People putting up walls and partitions and locking themselves in their unfinished basements. Like, that's your answer. Lock yourself in your unfinished basement.
Just go downstairs.
Yeah. Yes. Just get it.
Pay me for that.
Yeah. You really, you know, people are, you know, it's been this whole, you know, evolution of, okay, I got to work from home. All right, I've got kids at home. I'm going insane. I don't want to drive into the city because that's crazy. But maybe like locally, I could find like a smaller office space, a co-working space, some kind of small apartment, kind of small office, you know, setting. So it's been this kind of strange evolution with all this. And, you know, obviously people are making do with the situation, and it's tough. But it's good to hear that people are still kind of active, and you know, they're doing things to make themselves kind of you know, adjust or feel better about, you know, what the environment is. So I think that Maureen, what you're doing is like, you know, it's I don't think people take that into account as much as like the space you live in. If you have like newspapers all stacked up and you're living with a Formica floor like that, and things are funky, you know, it's going to kind of put you in maybe not a great mood. And not everybody obviously has a budget, but you can, you know, clean up those newspapers and maybe use some like chalk paint, like I mentioned before. My wife did that on our fireplace, chalk painted the hell out of it. It's all white now, and I was like a disbeliever. I'm like, this is gonna be stupid, but she did it. And, you know, obviously, you know, I according to my taste, I don't really like white painted bricks, but she did it, and it actually looks super fantastic.
It looks good, right?
Yes.
White paint goes a really long way.
You heard it here first, folks. Paint your entire interior white. Surprise your significant other. It'll be great. Guys, we got Beast Equipment grand opening next Tuesday in the 100th episode. Maureen Ursino from Ursino Interiors, I just want to thank you for being a part of the show. And
thank you for having me.
Yeah, anytime. If we could do like an on location where I could ask you a bunch of dumb questions about like, you can come over, look at our kitchen and be like, oh boy.
Only if we could rip that floor up. Only if we can rip your floor up and see what's underneath.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely. Totally local, people. It's the Totally Local podcast. I want to thank our guest, Maureen Ursino, Ursino Interiors. Thank you again so much. Aaron Levine from LG Insurance. If you're digging a hole and somebody falls in it, before that happens, you better talk to Aaron. Totally_local_podcast on Instagram. TotallyLocalPodcast.com is the website. Next week, next Thursday, it's going to be amazing, people. 100 episodes. We're going to have so many special guests. It's basically just to have a bunch of fun and celebrate 100 episodes. So again, thank you everybody for joining us, and thank you everyone for being on the show. We'll see you next time.